In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul's giving Timothy instructions on how and what he should do if or in his absence. And I believe he's teaching Timothy, preach the glory of God. Preach why Christ came and what he came to do. And we're going to find out today why Christ came and what he came to do. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. 14, 15 and 16. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for still being able to come to God's house. And then having saints of God who, even though ISIS has said they're going to blow up churches today, these folks have still come out. Fearless, bold, and courageous Christians. And we're going to need your strength and your boldness as we approach this coming year and hopefully years to come. Church, the pillar, the ground of God's truth. Let it continue to be that. Let the word of God be preached with boldness and clarity. Let us all, as men and women of God, profess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for all the singing. Thank you for the great prayer of faith. Thank you for all that you've done today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 These things, Paul's writing to Timothy. Paul had a habit of writing letters. He was a letter writer. He loved to write. And he would write Timothy these letters, and Timothy was just his son in the faith. He called Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, his son in the faith. He loved Timothy. He loved Timothy. He loved the roots of Timothy. He loved Timothy's grandmother and mother. He loved everything about Timothy, but he knew Timothy needed to know some things. And when you have people you love, you want them to know things. Amen. Paul says to Timothy, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, we know Paul was long at preaching. Paul was confrontational at his preaching. And when Paul preached, folks wanted to stone him. Folks wanted to kill him. Folks wanted to hurt him. Folks wanted to put him in jail. So Paul knew anytime he went out on a missionary trip, it was a good chance he wasn't coming back at the scheduled time if he came back at all. So he was giving Timothy divine instructions. If I don't come back, he didn't want to say that, but that's what he was saying. Timothy, if I don't come back, they cut my head off, which they end up doing, that thou mayest know how to behave. Thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, that's an interesting play of words there, and I'm going to get to verse 16, because that's where the text is coming from. But Paul's saying, thou oughtest to behave. That word ought means strength. I heard somebody praying, it was Columbus today, we need strength to do God's work. And there's a strength that you need to behave a certain way. There's a strength that a believer has to have within him if he's going to live out Christian values and live in the Spirit. You have to have the Spirit of God in you to do the work of God. Amen. Paul says to Timothy, he said, thou oughtest to know how to behave thyself in the house of God. Well, you know, there's a behavior that comes with all that we do. There's a behavior that comes when we go to a restaurant. There's a way that we ought to behave. When we go to a nice restaurant, they have a requirement that you wear a tie. There may be, you have to put in a reservation. You just can't show up at any restaurant or all restaurants. Just show up at 6 o'clock. There's a way you have to talk to the waitress. There's a way that waitress needs to talk to you. There's a proper way to tip. On the highway, there's a proper way to, we need to drive. We want to put on our blinkers when we're going to turn. There's a behavior involved in all that we do. You don't want to be riding in the passing lane going 55. In the gym, I know y'all knew the gym was coming up. In the gym, there's a proper way that you have to behave in the gym. Amen. You need to put your weights back after you get done using them.
Amen.
Wipe the machines down after you sweat all over them.
Amen.
There's a way you ought to behave if you were invited to the White House. You gotta have your credentials. Just ain't gonna show up.
Amen.
You're gonna be dressed a certain way. All that is behaviors. Paul said there's a behavior in the church. What is that? Have we lowered the standards so low that we can behave anyway in the church? There's a behavior, ought to be a behavior sitting in the pulpit.
Amen.
They told me when I was in a cemetery, they said a preacher ought not ever sit in the pulpit and cross his legs. He was like, well, I see that all the time, and it resonates with me because, Professor, you shouldn't sit in the pulpit and cross your legs because it's a picture of arrogance. It's a picture of pride and arrogance, and it's that you better. I never thought about that until I took that class. There's a way we ought to behave in as ushers. I'll look back then, I see the ushers leaning on, they leaning, they tired. Ushers represent our first line of defense in the church. Ushers ought to be attentive. Some ushers, they have their hands behind their back. But it's a picture of attentiveness. You're watching things and paying attention, seeing if what the folks is having trouble. There's a behavior when we in the choir stand. There ought to be a certain behavior that we conduct ourselves. In the house of God.
Amen.
Now, I go to a concert back in the days when I would go to concerts. You know, you expected those performers to perform a certain way. You wanted to hear that song, and they came out with lip singing years ago. And then you find out folks weren't even singing. So Paul's giving all this to Timothy, and y'all say, well, this is a Christmas message, Pastor. I'm going to get to the Christmas message.
Amen.
He said, but if I tarry long, and he said, thou knowest how y'all ought to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, this is some serious stuff. This church, without us, is a church. When we come into this church, it becomes the house of God. You know why? Because God lives in us. If there's nobody in here, this is just a church. But when the people of God, filled with the Spirit of God, come into this place, it becomes the house of God.
Amen.
It becomes God's house, and it is indwelt by His people. Now, if ain't no saved folks in here, this is not the house of God. It's just a church. If all the folks come in here, ain't nobody saved, nobody have been born again, no one have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's just a church. Okay? And there's a lot of churches like that. Entertainment centers. You know, and now you got churches, they put workout facilities in their church, and they doing all kinds of stuff. Yoga and aerobics and line dancing. You know, God's church is described here by Paul as the pillar in the ground of truth.
Amen.
What does the pillar do?
Support.
It supports things. The pillar supports things, and you know what? Things are going to come against the church. You know what the pillar do? What's the pillar designed to do? We got pillars in here. You might not see them, but there's pillars in here that's designed to withstand wind and rain and sleet and storm. We don't expect this church to be blown down or blown away because there's pillars. And the church is a pillar in the ground of truth. It's the foundation of truth. If you don't find truth in the church, you're not going to find it anywhere. You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in the White House. You're not going to find it in Congress. You're not going to find it in the Senate. You're not going to find it on ESPN. You're not going to find truth. The only place you want to find truth is in God's house. In God's house. And as men of God and preachers and teachers, we ought to be preaching the truth. It ain't popular. It ain't popular. It's not popular to even have church on Christmas Day for a lot of folks. It's a big controversy. A lot of churches really struggling with this day. A lot of preachers really struggling with this day. Because church to a lot of places is a performance. You got to have folks. Folks got things to do, and I'm not indicting anybody. I know we celebrate Christmas, and Cindy and I, we're going to get on the highway as soon as church is over and head to Columbus and spend Christmas with our family in Columbus. But even if I was out of town on a Sunday, I'm going to get to church. It's just that important. I can't remember the last time that Sunday came around or Wednesday came around. I didn't get excited because it was time to go to church and to be with God's people. And I loved it. I was so happy to see you guys on Wednesday night. We had a good turnout on Wednesday night. And we had a good time in the Lord and see my brothers and sisters in Christ. A beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Let's get to the meat of this. Let's get to the meat of this. Now, think about this now before I even go. I'm going to look at Paul. Paul, his the way he introduces himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think this is important because we want to know who Paul is. Some folks will say, well, what gives Paul that right? I want to say this because Paul's writing his pastoral epistle. He's writing on the church and how the church ought to run and how the church ought to operate and what ought to be taught. Amen. And what ought to be taught. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 1:1. We're going to get started. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Okay? Amen. Man of God. Those that would teach and those that would preach. We are under divine commandment by God, our Savior. Okay? I hear Randy singing a song. I love it when they call him Savior. It crossed my mind. I don't want y'all to think that I'm critiquing everything, but I do. I look at everything and I look at everything spiritually, and I wonder if the folks hearing the song and the person singing the song, is he your Savior? Amen. Is he or she your Savior? Because it just resonates through the Word of God. Here's what Mary had to say. And I know the Catholic Church really don't teach this. I don't think this is in the Catholic Bible. But it says in Luke 1:46, it says, and Mary said, my soul. Okay? My soul do magnify the Lord. Make the Lord big. Mary said, my soul makes the Lord big because the Lord is big to me. So when you look at me, it's like looking at a magnifying glass. Behind it, you ought to see a big God. When you look at a person who says the Lord is their Savior, when you look at them good, you ought to see a big God behind them. You ought not see them. Okay? See, a lot of folks can't see the Lord in you because they can't see past you. They see too much of us to see the Lord. Mary said, my soul do magnify the Lord. When a person's soul magnify the Lord, then all you're going to see in that person is the Lord. That person's going to thank the Lord in all things. In everything, give thanks to the Lord. Now watch what Mary said. She said, not only do my soul magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. God my Savior. I love it when they call him Savior. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. Listen, I preached on this one, this four-part series. This was the second series I preached out of Titus 3 and 1 through 4. Look at this now. Watch Titus, because this is blessing. This is the joy that comes when Christ was born. If you can love Christmas. And the fact that Jesus Christ was born, you know, we say it all the time. We're not celebrating his birthday. We know he wasn't born on December 25th. Okay? We celebrate the fact that he was born. Okay? He was born. Had not been born, he couldn't have died. And if he didn't die, we die in our sins. So he has to be born. Okay? Put them in mind. Titus 3 and 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For ourselves, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. See, we sometimes get ahead of ourselves. We get so sanctified, so saved, that we forget it. That when we first got saved, we was still learning and still struggling and still going through some stuff. And some of us, you know, we get so high and lifted up that we look down on everybody. Okay? Folk got to grow. I got to grow. These ministers got to grow. The choir has to grow. If you think you've got it all together, then you're in a bad place. We growing as a church. And if we ever stop growing as a church, then we in a lot of trouble. Now watch what Paul says here. I think this is beautiful here. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Sometimes I still get a little foolish. We were sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient, sometimes deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, watch this now, hateful and hating one another. And I talked about being hateful. And that word don't mean you were hateful toward everybody else. It meant really that your lifestyle was such that you deserve to be hated. You know anybody like that? They so ugly. So ugly and so their attitudes and their disposition so bad that God is saying they just hateful. That's what it says. Hateful. And hating one another. Watch this now. To the hateful person. Some of y'all were saved now was hateful. I know I was. Amen. Some folks are still hateful, but you know, I know I'm saved. Pray for me. Watch this now. This got to happen. If you say this happened to you. If you're not saved, just say no. This hasn't happened. And if you're still hateful and living in malice and envy, pleasures and diverse lusts, you deceive, disobedient, foolish, then this ain't happening. You ask God, you know what? Pastor was talking about that. You know, make this happen in my life because I can't continue to live like this. But after the kindness and the love of God, here's our word, our Savior. Oh, I love it when they call him Savior. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appear. We changed. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1 and 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who did what? Who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. Listen, folks. I'm gonna keep moving. I know I could be long on this, but this is one of the subjects that just get bigger as you talk about it. But I want to talk to you guys about verse 16. Verse 16 of 2 Timothy, or as I'm in 1 Timothy. Let's look at verse 16. Without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's far as I'm going today. I want to talk about justified in the spirit, seed of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. But when I hit manifest in the flesh, I kind of got stuck. Amen. Y'all come out on Wednesday nights, y'all know I get stuck. But something happened. We think about a great controversy. Anybody got a great controversy going on? Okay, there's a great controversy going on now. You know, people say, about the Electoral College versus the popular vote. People say, oh, you know, got a great controversy. How are we going to deal with ISIS? I mean, in sports, you got a great controversy. You know, LeBron or MJ. In golf, you got a great controversy. What about Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods? Who's the greatest? There's a great controversy between the death penalty and not have the death penalty. Great controversies all over the land. All over the land. But what God is saying here through the person of Paul, the apostle, he said, and without controversy. There's no controversy when it comes to the fact that Jesus Christ was born in the flesh.
Amen.
There's no controversy. Folks don't want to believe it because believing it makes you accountable. So a lot of folks, I can't believe that because if I start believing what that crazy man is talking about, it's going to change the way I do things. And I like my sin. I like doing what I want to do. I don't want to be under the commandments of God. I like going where I want to go. I like watching what I want to watch. I like my stuff. See, we know this. That therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I did it again. Behold, all things have become new. That behold, I'm something different. When you show up to school, that day after you get saved, folks gonna be like, something different about so and so. They ain't acting the same. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You don't want to get high. You don't want to drink. You got boys coming over, girls coming. Something wrong with you. And I heard a young lady talking the other day. And she said, she got a younger brother. And he 18. He don't drink. He don't drink. He a teetotaler. And she just condemning him. I want to be the kind of big sister that introduced my younger brother to drinking. I want to be the one with him having his first drink. He's just going on and on and on. And I'm sitting here like, are you serious? I wonder if you what if that first drink you introduced him to causes him to be an alcoholic? What if that first drink you think it's funny? They thought it was funny. And I'm like, what if that first drink causes him to have a drinking problem? What if that first drink causes him to get drunk and run into a telephone pole? See, Budweiser and Michelob Light don't tell you all that.
That's right.
Like, I'm sitting here like, what's wrong with this picture? Listen, don't get down rabbit hole, Pastor. Talk about why Jesus Christ was born in the flesh. Let me share this because it's no controversy. It used to be when I wasn't saved. I'm gonna tell you something. When I wasn't saved, I was where you guys, some of you guys are right now. When I wasn't saved, I battled head to toe because I was protecting my sin. I wasn't getting saved, and you weren't gonna tell me about no Jesus, okay? Born in a manger and all that. I didn't want to hear it. I was doing my thing. Okay? Just keep it real. Wasn't saved. You know, I was born in sin like David. If you haven't been born again, you're still in sin.
Amen.
Why did he become flesh? Get to the point, Pastor. John wrote, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did he become flesh? A lot of reasons. I'm going to give you about four, and I'm going to let y'all go home and celebrate Christmas. He became flesh that man might see in visible form. Deity. How about that? Invisible form, a holy thing. As the angel told Mary, say that holy thing. You ever see this divinity? Here's John. In the book of John 14, here's Philip. Philip wanted to see the Father. He wanted to see the Father. And God was talking to Philip. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. John 14, 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you have known me, That word known. If you have known me, been in an intimate relationship with me, you talked to me, you prayed with me, you sought me in a time of need, in a time of trouble, you sought me and I've answered you, and you know my voice and I know yours. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth for us. It'll be enough for us to show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, remember now, he became flesh so folks could see the visible form of God's deity. Watch this now. And he said unto him, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, so folks see God in us. Okay? We don't see God visibly today. But we see a God at work. I see God at work when I see folks loving one another. When I see folks sustaining and battling through marital issues and problems and battling life, going through the ups and downs and loving one another and standing strong, I see God at work. Hebrews 1 and 3 talks about the same thing. We was talking about this seeing God. God wanted to manifest himself to us. Why did God show himself to us in the flesh? It says here, who being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of God, on the majesty on high. Have you seen the Father? Have you seen him? He became flesh. Why did he become flesh, Pastor? To relate to us. You know, sometimes folks, you know, some of you run into a billionaire, you can't be related to a billionaire. Okay? When one of these athletes, they say they fine them $36,000. That's kind of weird to me. And that's really like $20 to us. They find, you know, they find LeBron $50,000. That's chump change. Okay? So he had to become flesh to identify with us. I thought this was interesting. I look at some of these different verses here in Hebrews 4 and 15. I like this one. And I'm going somewhere. Hang in there with me. I'm not going to keep you guys long. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points, what? Tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Think about the wilderness. Jesus was taken out to the wilderness. Some of us, Satan has taken us to the wilderness and tempted us. Some of us right now, and today, before the day is over, we're going to be tempted. Tempted to do something that's not going to give God glory. Tempted to say something that's not going to give God glory. Maybe even tempted to hang out with folks that we know these folks don't love the Lord. Why am I hanging out with them? But I say, I love the Lord. We're going to be tempted to do something. Some of us may be tempted to say something that we can't ever get back. Jesus was tempted just like we was. Watch this now. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched. This is why he came. This is why he became flesh. With the feelings of our infirmity. Remember when Jesus wept? He wept like we wept, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Watch this now. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. When is the time of need? When you need help. When do we need help? We always need help. The man and woman of God always need help. Always need help. Okay? Word of God said we ought to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians. He was manifested to provide a model for our living. You ever wanted to know how you ought to live? You want to know the standard? It's a high standard.
Church don't like to teach it anymore because we don't feel like we can do it anymore. The world has just overcome the church. And we just got to be like the world.
Yeah.
You know, just take it, we can take it or leave it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we dress like the world. We act like the world. We the worldly song. We just feel with the world.
Amen.
But Jesus is the model. He's the model. He came to be a model for us and how we ought to behave. Watch this now. 1 Peter 2. He said, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffer wrongfully." Now watch this. I'm in 1 Peter 2:21. I'm at 19. "For what glory is it?" Think about this now. "For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults," when somebody do something to you for something you've done that you deserve, he says, "you shall take it patiently if you get what you deserve." Okay? You going 90 miles an hour in a 70 miles zone, please pull you over. You ain't got no argument.
Amen.
You ain't got no argument.
Amen.
Okay? But when you're going 70 in a 70, please pull you over, now can you take it? Now can you just pull over and just hand them your license and hand them your registration and hand them your proof of insurance, and can you say, "No, what are we going to do? Act a fool." I'm going to act a fool. "You just pulling me over because I'm black and I'm this and I'm that, and you, we're going to act a fool." We're going to act a fool. Y'all know it too. Take the ticket and didn't. And I used to hear the folks when I worked at General Motors in the foreman asking me something they want to do. "God bless you." And I look at them. They had a dress on, no makeup. And I'm like, "Wow. That was rough. I wasn't saved then. They gave me more ammunition. That's why. Keep on acting a fool. God bless you." Watch this now. Verse 21. "For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us," what? "An example that we should follow in his steps." Now folks got mouth problems. We got a lot of folks with mouth problems. They just pop right off. They say whatever comes to their mind. You know, and I hear people say, "I'm going to speak my mind. I don't care what, I'm going to speak what's on my heart." Let me tell you something. That always gets you in trouble. See, when I hear people say, "I'm going to speak what's on my heart," I'm leaving. I'm getting away from that because I know something close is getting ready to happen. Okay? I'm getting away real soon. If Cindy ever starts talking, Cindy don't do this. I'm just saying her name. But if she ever says, "I'm going to tell you what I feel," it's time for me to go. Okay? Watch this down. "Who did no sin." He was manifested as our model. So we need a model. We need a model. No, we're not going to be perfect. We in this flesh. We're not going to be perfect. But we do have a model. Okay? "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." What is guile? Trickery. Telling somebody, you know, something that ain't true. Just to get over. "Who when he was reviled." You ever been reviled? "Reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not." Okay? We suffer. We revile. What are we going to do? Somebody flip us off? You know what? Somebody said, "Er, hit the brakes. I got to hit the gas and catch up with them." And, you know, folks getting killed on the roads because folks getting killed. Young boy, baby, 3 years old, got killed. Something happened on the road and the person just got out of the car and shot in the car, killed the baby. Football player got a road rage. And just, you see, there's just folks texting down the road, going 50 in the fast lane, texting, laughing on the phone. Somebody want to get, they get in a hurry. Folks in a hurry. They ride by and blow the horn and might as well push them off the road. Yeah. "But when he was reviled, reviled not again. But when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously." He was manifested to provide us an example. Anybody here realize you're an example as a child of God? You're an example to a lost world? You're an example of Christ
everywhere you go. It don't matter where you are, you're an example of Christ. It's that's just me, because I wear this collar and I wear it to work. Folks look at me different, but they watch me. They watch me like a hawk.
Amen.
Okay? They watch everything I do, watch everything I say. Now I'm probably on a little different plane than you guys, but I tell you what, I know folks are watching you.
Amen.
Okay? I guarantee they watch and see if Claire gonna go to church on Christmas. I'm gonna see if they, you know, are they watching? They wanna say, this is a challenge. Having church on Christmas is a challenge. Because folks want to know, what's more important, Christmas, running down the steps and opening gifts, or going to church to see the Savior, or to meet with the Lord? It's a struggle. Here's a big one. Here's the big one. The fourth one. Here's a big one. This I thought this one was just huge when I thought about it. I had never looked at these verses like this. And I looked at this, he became flesh that he may be subjected to death. How many know if they didn't kill him, he would live forever. He had to die. So watch this. I'm in 1 Timothy 6:16-15. I thought this was interesting. You got to know some of this stuff. Some people, we ought to be hopping around in church. You got to know something.
Yeah.
We got to know something. God, when the enemy come against you, he going to ask you these questions. And you don't know nothing. He's going to say, you don't know nothing. Jehovah went to knock on your door and ask you some questions. You don't know nothing. Don't know nothing. Folk ask you, well, you know, are Mormons Christians? Are Jehovah Witness Christians? We don't know. Yeah, everybody a Christian. Like the lady told me at work, everybody a Christian. And you know, I tell them, I say, you know, there's heaven for everybody. There's golf heaven. When the golf, like I say, Arnold Palmer died, he in golf heaven. Okay? When a basketball player died, he in basketball heaven. He ain't looking, the basketball gods are looking down on us. And the football gods are looking down on us. When Mickey Mantle died, the baseball gods are looking down on us. So there are all kinds of heavens. Heavens everywhere. And we don't know. We don't know no better. Everybody going to heaven. There's a gangster heaven. Gangsters going to heaven. Okay? Yeah, you got the Crips going to heaven and the Bloods going to heaven. You got the ABs going to heaven. Everybody got a heaven. Go to a gang funeral. And that preacher going to say, he in a better place now. He in Crip heaven. Laying in the casket, all red, got his hands in the funeral director, put his hands with the signs. I see this stuff. Y'all think I'm joking. Turn the hat to the right, turn the hat to the left, or dressing all blue, dressing all red. He ain't in the crib heaven. Got the big poster next to the funeral, the casket, you know, hold money, got the strippers all around, he had the strip club, got cigars in his mouth, blunts in his hand, and he in gangster heaven. Yep. Gangster heaven. Super Bowl heaven. You know, somebody always died right around Super Bowl, some Hall of Famer. They say, well, he looking down on us from heaven. Never once mentioned God or love for Jesus. Watch this now. See, I ran all off with that. 1 Timothy 6. I'm coming back. That's why I have notes. 1 Timothy 6:15. Watch this now. He became flesh so he could die. This is the big one. Timothy says this. Paul says this in Timothy. He said, which in time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings. Okay? The Lord of lords. See, the King of kings. And the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. The one king is a capital K, and the other king is a small K. Okay? See, some of y'all think LeBron James, y'all call him the king. He's the king. He's a small K. Okay? But he can't be a king, because the only way you can be a king, somebody got to make you a king. So all the King of Kings here, he's talking about the king who's made kings. David would be a small K king. God made him. God didn't make LeBron king. LeBron made himself king. ESPN made him king. But this Lord, he's a King of kings.
Amen.
true kings. He was king of Saul. And when Saul acted crazy, he took his kingship. He took his spirit from Saul. And Saul went crazy.
Amen.
Some of y'all crazy because you don't have spirit. You wonder why. I'm crazy. Why do I do what I do? Why do I act like this? Why do I have thoughts like this? You crazy. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. And you're trying to do spiritual things without the Spirit. Then you wonder why you're crazy. I didn't say, man, people, it was a crazy world. People were like, man, you hear about, I don't have to hear about nothing. I see it. I see craziness in this world because it's lost. And folks without the Spirit allowed to do anything. God take the Spirit from me, y'all. Man, y'all don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. Watch this now. Who have immortality. This is Paul talking about Jesus. Who only have immortality. That's Jesus. Can't die. Why? Why do we die? Wages of sin is death. Well, if you're sinless, you will never die.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you don't have no sin, you will never die.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean you'll live to be 99 or 100. Some people live to, I think that's 112, 113 year old. That's not sinless. They're going to die.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Who only have immortality, who only have eternal life. Jesus was born with eternal life. When he stepped out of glory, he stepped out with eternal life. He couldn't die. Watch this now. Watch this. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, who no man have seen. Okay? Contrary to what my brother-in-law said, I'm going to be with him this weekend probably. Nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now watch this now. You please go to this. If you only turn to one verse today, turn to this one. Hebrews 2:9. If you only, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to get there. If you only turn to one verse today, and if you got your Bible, please highlight this one. Because this one, I sat there and I had to just bow my head because I really never seen this before. Okay, the Spirit of God just said, this is interesting. And I had to look at it, and that's why I got stuck, because I wanted to go through all six of these subjects, justified and seen of angels, but I couldn't get past this one, because this one was heavy on me. Watch this, Hebrews 2 and 9. Let me open up to the Bible myself, because I may have to go back just a touch. Hebrews 2 and 9. Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to verse 7. It says, and thou madest him a little lower than the angels. That's the thought now. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hand. It's God talking about his son. Okay? Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Okay, stay with me. Who was made a little lower than the angels. Now the scholar, the true Bible student would say, why did he make him a little lower than the angels? The angels don't die. Now, you just not telling me that. Okay? You just not going to tell me that angels don't die without a scripture. Okay? This is what I want y'all to study about. Listen, don't let nobody tell you, well, angels don't die. Well, how do I know that? Okay? Because Claire hit it right on the nose. Angels don't die, but I need some book. Chapter, verse. Okay? Let me keep reading this. But we see Jesus, who was made, okay, a little lower than the angels. Why? Why did God make him a little lower than the angels? Here's why. For the suffering of death. This is a Christmas story. It ain't candy canes and Christmas trees and all that. You know, Cindy went out, bought them lights that light up the house, and Christmas trees floating on the house and glitter all over it. She didn't do that. I did. I did that, not her. So I love Christmas. Y'all ride by my house and see my Christmas display. All right. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. Okay. Sylvia's favorite verse. See, I'll be thinking about y'all when I be studying. I'll be thinking about my church. I'm so glad I got a small church. I can put all y'all in this because this is Sylvia's verse here. I'm getting ready to take y'all down Sylvia Lane. Luke 20. Sylvia going to say, oh, Sylvia, this your verse, Sylvia. This is for you. Luke 20. Y'all stay with me. This is what you can do in a family church. When you have a family church, a personal relationship with the folks that's in your church, you can do stuff like this. Luke 20. And then Sylvia, she ain't thin skinned. So I can rip her up and make her laugh. And she'll still make me a zucchini bread in the fall. Look at Luke 20. Some of y'all in here to talk about this. This is a good question. Luke 20. Here we go. I want to start at 36, but I got to go back. So stay with me. It's Christmas. Y'all here now. Y'all unsaved family members can wait on y'all. Luke 20 and 27. Here we go. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which denied that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, Jake, you ain't got to worry about this, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And there were therefore seven brothers. Whew. And the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to a wife and he died childless. And the third took her, man. And in the like manner, the seven also. And they left her and they left no children and died. She was a bad girl. See, Deacon Auburn, you know. Elmer Luke, Elmer Jr. seeing your grandfather's mess. Okay? Last of all, the woman died also. She buried seven husbands. Well, we. And no babies. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her a wife. There's a question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, now remember, I'm just trying to give you this verse. And I had to go all the way there to give you this verse. And the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, heaven, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay? See, y'all wonder why Lori loving on Dave so much. Folks be like, oh, they just touchy feeling, touchy, bit of hotel. Listen, let me tell you something, I love them now. I'd rather see y'all touching and cuddling than fighting and swearing at each other.
Amen.
Love them now, because when you get to heaven, y'all, you know, it's so cute, y'all, I know y'all read the newspaper and obituary and they like back together again. Together again. That ain't biblical. It's sweet now. It's sweet, you know, but it ain't biblical. All right. Oh, Lord have mercy. Neither, watch this now. Neither can they die anymore. Okay? For they are equal unto angels. So we get to heaven and be angels. We ain't going to die no more. And it ain't going to happen. We only got to die once. And are the children of God being the children of the resurrection? Listen, angels can't die. Now, that's our text. I went a long way to make that plain. I really wanted to make that plain. But now, well, let me read it again now that I went through all that. But we see Jesus, okay, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? Why, God, did you do this? For the suffering of death. He had to be born of a man in order to die for the sins of man. He didn't die for the angels. He died for us. He was born to die for us. Now watch this. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. Every man. Why? Every man needs him. Because we are born in sin. Last one. I'm honestly. He was manifested in the flesh so that he may destroy the works of the devil. Okay? He was born to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? See, when we celebrate Christmas, we got candy canes and Walmart got us all messed up. But Jesus was born. This was confrontational. Remember when Jesus was born, Herod went out and tried to kill everybody, trying to kill it, because he knew he had to get him. See, we got it all messed up. And not that it ain't a beautiful holiday, don't get me wrong, but it's a trying to get the right word for it. Yeah, know what it's about. Know what it's about. Watch this. I got a couple of verses that I just highlighted when I was going through this. Why was he die? He died to destroy the works of the devil. The devil was busy. See, some of y'all know the devil is busy because you're on his side. But if you try to do right, some of us work for the devil. We got some churches work for the devil. Okay? He that committed sin is of the devil. Now, when we sit here and we live in a lifestyle of sin, when we are known by our sin, some people know by their sin. That's what I'm talking about. Not that we don't sin. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm not saying that. But when you're known by your sin, when your sin identifies you, when your friends know you by your sin, then now that's the committed sin is of the devil. You have a lifestyle, and your lifestyle is sinful. Okay? He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. He been sinning from the beginning. He's sinning now. Okay? And if you are not born again, okay, then you have not been relieved of that. Okay, you're born in sin. I tell Jake and Jackson, I say, you got a bundle of sin. Okay, you sitting over there in Ariana, 20 pounds down, whatever, she's 20 pounds of sin. Okay, and the other one is about 10 pounds or 12 pounds of sin. That's all they are. Okay? Little balls of sin. And y'all finding that out, ain't you, Jackie? And they're going to get bigger and bigger, and you got to talk to them about the things of God, because they can get 20, 30 years old, and they'll be like 140, 50 pounds of sin. See, did Jesus say you must be born of sin again? Excuse me. You must be born again. John 3:6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is what? Born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay? The wicked are estranged from the womb. And they go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Job said, who can bring a clean thing from an unclean thing? Listen. We're powerless to it. Somebody know it. We ain't got no power. You can't fight sin. That's why I look at you guys. I look at folks that I work with and people that I work with. I say, man, they're just going through. Don't even have a clue. Don't have no power. And they wonder why. We got officers getting fired from a good job, getting involved in relationships with inmates and stuff. And they don't have no clue. And I sit here and I watch them. And I'm like, man, how would you go home and say, I lost a job paying $85,000 a year because I got in a relationship with inmate? And my heart go out to them because I know they don't have a clue. See, here's what I know. In Romans 5:8 says this. For when we were yet without strength. You ain't got no strength. You ain't got no power. If you don't have the power of God working, you ain't got no power. You're going to do whatever Satan tells you to do. And he's going to tell you to shoplift, steal, lie, fornicate, adulter. And he's going to be running the show. Until you get the power of God in you and you can say, greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. You're powerless. And you're going to do some crazy stuff. And you may survive. You may make it to 50 and 60 years old. God, for when we were yet without sin, without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet free of vision for a good man, some would die. Watch this now. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, somebody say amen. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Man. Let me let y'all get out of here. Say it again, Pastor. The kids are out of prison today. He got to say it at least 5 or 6 times before he starts preaching. Listen, they get to know me and they say, he'll say it 5 or 6 times. They say that. They be counting. They be going 4. Romans 8. Last one. Then they'll say 5. Listen. Romans 8:3. I'm going to look at verse 1. Listen. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now remember what Jesus came to do. He came to deliver us from sin. Okay? That's why he was born. Not that he came to die for us, but to deliver us from sin. Because we can't fight sin. I don't know. Sin is fun. Okay? Sin is fun. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, have made me free from the law of sin and death. Watch this now. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Well, all the law could do is tell you you're a sinner. That's all it could do can save you. Okay? God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's so much more. Merry Christmas. 2016, Merry Christmas.